Nothing excites Carrie and Tommy more than you hitting play on their catch-up. Well, maybe Nissan Intelligent. Easy to see why the Nissan X-Trail is the world's best-selling SUV.
Afternoon, Australia. Welcome to Carrie and Tommy. Welcome to you, Carrie Bickmore.
Hello.
Hello. Thirsty Thursdays is what it is today.
Is it?
Yep.
We don't give away any drinks, though.
No.
That's our favourite type of thirsty.
Hey, I've got an update for you later. You know how yesterday we did the voicemail show where I called people?
We realised we didn't have a name for it then, didn't you?
The voicemail show.
You know how we did the voicemail show?
Yeah. So we called people to prove that no one checks their voicemail, called celebrities in my phone, left a voicemail message that you wrote for me and to see if they called back.
Yes.
I've got an update for you later on the show.
Oh.
One of the celebs got back to me.
Oh, you ripper.
In fact, we're going to speak to them.
Carl Stefanovic?
I'm not telling you.
Okay. I will stick around for that. Hey, last week on my tour, next week I'm in Sydney for the Sydney Comedy Festival. Gorgeous Sydney people, get out. The weekend shows are pretty much all gone. But next Wednesday and Thursday, there are still tickets. Sydney Comedy Store next Wednesday and Thursday. TommyLittle.com.au, is that my website?
Let's just chuck a link up on our Instagram as well. At Carrie Tommy Show. We'll put it on there for you, mate.
You know you're not going to sell tickets if you don't tell people where they buy them.
Yeah, so that's why I was looking at my... I was looking at Kate.
Why are you looking for you? Just one second.
Tommy, you should know that, mate.
TommyLittle.com.au.
If I'm going to say, it's still time to jump online and buy a beanie, go to Carrie's Beanies for braincancer.com. I know the name of the website.
Don't steal my plug, mate.
You could go to Tommy's show or you could buy a beanie.
Oh, don't do that. Why would you do that?
Nah, go to Tommy's show and buy a beanie. but next, I need to discuss personal hygiene.
Oh, is it me again or is it you?
No, it's someone.
Oh. I'll use my nose to guess before then. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. What's going on?
Okay, I need to discuss an issue with you. I probably should have discussed it with you off air first and then came up with a resolution, but let's just do it with the people.
I love bringing off air on air. It's my favourite thing.
I want to hear your thoughts. Okay. Yep. So, jumped in the shower today.
Wow.
What?
Are you sure this is an on-air thing?
I told you. It's probably for off-air, but it's going to be on-air.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. It's a strong start to a story. Isn't it bold?
The last time I talked about showering was with my 9-year-old. This doesn't include my 9-year-old.
Well, he's 10 now.
He's 10. It doesn't include my 10-year-old.
Okay.
I have to say I've stopped that a bit.
A bit. That doesn't mean I've stopped that. You should have said I have to say I've stopped that. If someone says I've stopped that a bit, it means I haven't stopped it at all. If anything, I've stopped drinking a bit.
Anyway, okay. So in the shower this morning, with Chris, it's not weird. We have a double shower. I'm not going to get into anything saucy here. Don't have to turn off if you've got kids in the car. It's all fine.
We've
got a
turn
double
it up.
Shower. Okay.
Yes.
So, showering away.
You and your partner, yes.
Yeah, and so I'm, what are you putting your hands up for?
The showering away thing is...
Buzz gave a yay, yay, yay.
But your showering away motion is very...
So I won't be saying what I just
when
did.
When you're showing two showerheads, that's very close to getting to...
Okay, so I was washing my hair sort of facing the other way, right?
Yeah.
And then I turned around and all I could see was these big... kick-ass scissors, and I mean like
scissors,
almost
scissors,
like sewing scissors. You
scissors?
Know, like, do you know what sewing scissors are?
I picture the ones that are zigzaggy.
Yeah, they're actually very good. Not quite those, but ones to really cut through heavy-duty fabric. Right?
In the shower.
In the shower.
There should never be
right next to Chris's.
The thing you don't want the scissors near.
No, I'm like, what are you doing? And he said,
"Going Jewish."
I'm manscaping. I was like, two things. That's not the right utensil. That's not
manscaping.
Like, that involves like some small little like scissors because that's dangerous.
Oh, don't be offensive to him. Maybe big scissors are the only thing.
And second of all, why are you doing it in front of me?
With scissors.
Like right round, like getting right up and in there, right?
With scissors.
With big scissors.
That's so scary. I'm feeling stressed.
I was like, what if you cut something?
Yeah.
Anyway, then I said, but if you're manscaping, I'm assuming for me, and maybe that's an assumption that I've made.
Oh, wow.
Why are you doing it in front of me? Surely you maintain in private only to go, ta-da!
Exactly. So are we doing calls on 131060? How did you find out he was having an affair? or something else.
Because what it made me think of is my cousin has her own spray tan machine, right? Because she loves getting spray tans. And she
Your
gets,
cousin.
She gets,
sure.
No.
Go on. The brownest woman I've ever seen. Continue. Continue, Carrie Tanmore.
No, and she gets her hubby to tan her. And I'm always like, is that weird? And she said, well, yeah. I like to be tan because I feel sexier. And I'm like, I'm assuming yeah. you want to feel sexier for him. So yeah. don't get him to tan you. Get someone else to tan you and then you can go, ta-da.
Yeah, there's nothing less sexy than the sentence, make sure you get every nook and crevice, Terry.
And if you've ever had a spray tan, you got to stand like weird
legs
positions.
Akimbo.
Legs akimbo, right?
So I can't, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know you want to wrap this up in a general topic, but I can't get over the scissors.
Is that not what you do it? How you do it?
I do it with clippers.
And so see, that would scare me even more.
No, there's a safety.
Is there?
Yeah.
The whole thing scares me. I just don't need to see it, to be honest.
You definitely don't need to see it. I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree with you
more. I want to know what things that you shouldn't see your partner do.
Like yeah, great.
Because you're right. Because kind of maintenance stuff.
Particularly that stuff. You're exactly right. That stuff that is meant to be
behind
sexy.
Behind closed doors.
And
otherwise
sexy
it's just,
to you.
Exactly.
You're ruining the illusion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Scissors.
See? That's why I made that noise.
Sewing scissors. Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little. I wish I could go back to this morning before I watched Chris tackle his tackle with a big-ass pair of scissors.
I can't get over the scissors.
I know. You need to have that conversation with him. This is a whole nother chat. I don't need to be a part of it.
There is one bit about it I need to know.
Yeah.
Scissors on top.
Yep.
What about?
Yep, everywhere, all around.
But you need to shave that.
As I'm telling you, this is not a conversation for me because the point of this is I don't want to be a part of it.
I'm going to put a rule out there. No scissors in the shower ever.
I agree. No need.
No pointy things while naked.
No. Anyway, we're discussing what things you shouldn't see your partner do. I don't believe you should see your partner manscape. Lizzie, what don't you believe you should see your partner do?
My partner hates seeing me squish my pimples.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
No one needs to see the pop.
I have a fetish for it, and I try and squish his, but I have to wait till he's asleep.
So, Liz, where are his? Are his pimples on his back? So you
guys having a nice dream. Ow.
Yeah. So
I have been nearly punched out once before.
You deserve that.
So Liz, I don't understand. So he rolls over and you wait till you can hear him kind of snoring and then you just get stuck into his back and get stuck into blackheads.
I'm like a cat waiting to pounce. What if out.
Liz, what if one was to spray and hit you in the face?
Stop it.
No, I just want to know, is that what you're holding out for?
Or it's happened before.
Oh, Liz.
See, this is a whole other thing, you weird fetishes. We'll do that another
day.
Isn't she
great, though? She's so fun.
Oh, Fiona, what don't you think you should see your partner do?
Well, you probably shouldn't see your partner wax her legs, but I used to get my ex-husband to wax mine all the time. And he
Did you think that could be the reason Fiona, their ex-husband?
Not at all. He probably wouldn't say so. But he was totally fine with it. People thought it was a bit weird, but
But do you think it takes away like the sexiness, you know? It's like you're seeing too much?
No. He was, you know what? The funny thing was he really got into how hot the wax should be and, you know, if it was cool enough and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, he was totally cool with it. And he wanted to make sure it was done properly and, yeah.
So he wasn't trained in this field? No?
Absolutely not. Not at all. No.
How did that come about the first time? Did you just look down at a jar of hot wax and look across at your partner, your hubby has never done it before and go, you have a crack at this, Dale?
Well, actually, he was North Indian, and I said to him, it's probably more expensive if I go and pay to get this done, so I will just go and buy the wax, you do it, it's less expensive, we're all happy. Happy days. He was wrapped with it.
Classic North Indian behaviour. Good on you.
Finally, before we go, thanks, Fee. Simone, what do you think you shouldn't see your partner do?
Oh, hi, guys. I believe your partner should never see a woman put stockings on.
Oh, yes, the twisting and turning.
Are they hard to get on?
Oh, yeah.
Look at me pretending like I don't know.
There's nothing sexy about squishing yourself.
Oh, yeah, when you get to the squishy bits too and it's and you're squashing them in.
And I'm of the voluptuous build, and squashing those bits in, it's something a husband should never see.
How do you feel about watching a man manscape?
Oh, my husband doesn't get me to watch that.
No, I see.
Does he go at it with scissors, Simone?
No, scissors make me nervous.
Yeah. I'm surprised they don't make him nervous.
I'm amazed they don't make him.
She's seen how big they were.
That's the new extreme sport. Get rid of skydiving. Try trimming your pubes with scissors. Let's make that an event. Carrie Bickmore and
Tommy Little. Now, if you missed the show yesterday, we discovered that millennials don't like voicemail. Voicemail's on the way out. No one listens to their voicemail.
Yep.
I agreed. I don't have it. I don't listen to it. And we thought, why don't I call people, celebrities in my phone, right? And I leave a voicemail, see if they call back.
And see if they listen to the voicemail. So I would write the sentence on the piece of paper that you had to say in the voicemail. One of those people was Andy Lee. Now, we have to stress he is on hold now, but he can't hear us because we don't reckon he's listened to the voicemail, but he has gotten back to you.
Well, he's got back to me with some text messages and some calls, but none of them are
related.
The way I think he would respond if he'd listened to the voicemail.
If you missed the voicemail yesterday, this is what it was.
Hi, sorry I've missed your call. If you're a telemarketer, I'll have 5 of whatever you're selling. My credit card number is
55. Hey, I need some advice about my prostate. Call me.
That was great!
Now, that was the only one I got out because I had to ring Larry Emder and tell him that I'd lost my Mexican... What? What?
Just because he joins us now.
Oh.
Andy, a great man. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. It's always very nerve-wracking when you've just been called and put straight through with no idea what's going on.
So it's radio, mate. You would have done that before.
Oh, plenty of times. That's why I know.
Now, mate, you missed a call from Carrie yesterday.
Yes. I wondered whether it was about swinging. Isn't she a swinger these days?
Oh, yeah. There was I did notice you called back pretty quickly.
Are you open to the idea?
I would have to run it by Beck.
That's weird.
That's not a no.
No, definitely not a no.
No, that's not why we were calling.
But it's way more interesting. No. Let's talk about this more.
It's not.
Andy, have you ever swung before?
Can you stop it? Get back to the topic.
No,
this is
I
weird
haven't.
Now.
Tommy.
You haven't. Okay. Okay.
Voted man.
So you wrote back to Carrie and
said sorry I missed your call. Did you know what the call was about?
No, you didn't leave a message.
I did leave a message. See, you don't listen to your voicemail, do you?
Oh, I did listen to my voicemail.
Did you?
Yeah, but it didn't seem like there was a message there. But what did it say?
Well, in case you missed it, we were trying to prove that no one listens to their voicemail. You're the weird one that does. But you didn't hear my message. Should we just play Andy the message just in case?
Sure.
This is, well, I should preface the fact that, actually, I'm not going to preface it with anything. Here's what I left you.
Hi, sorry I've missed your call. If you're a telemarketer, I'll have 5 of whatever you're selling. My credit card number is 55.
Hey, I need some advice about my prostate. Call me.
I did think it was odd that you wouldn't bring that up in the messages back.
I didn't get that message.
He did mention swinging, though, so it's kind of related weird way.
Carrie, maybe you could check Andy's prostate in the swinging session.
I am a weirdo when it comes to this stuff because I actually call people back when they text me. Hamish hates it. I'm actually more of a caller than a texter. Hamish thinks it comes down to I yearn for efficiency. So whenever I get in the car, I always do all my calls and I get back to everyone who texts me
I'm exactly the same.
I hate when people call you from the car because my friends will do it. Well, Hader, one of our mutual friends, he always calls when he's driving home and just has nothing to do and I can hear the indicator and I'm like, mate, I've got stuff on. I know you're just driving and you just want to fill your time.
Well, so, Haim accuses me of changing platforms. Like if someone emails me, he goes, you've got to keep it in email. I go straight back to calls for everything.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would have heard the message bank, but for some reason, I don't know why that one didn't come up. Maybe is because it wasn't PG rated and I had everything censored.
Well, clearly we've had a bit of a communication breakdown here.
I mean, so what have we discovered through all this, do you
Well,
think?
I think just in wrapping up, Andy, when Carrie does want to ask you about swinging, should she text or call?
Or email.
Or fax. Or carry a pigeon. She is open to any options.
Fantastic news. Once again, I'll have to clear it with Beck.
Hey, thanks, Andy. Have a ripper, bro.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Have I got a funny story for you? You probably should never start with that sentence, should you?
You can
the
start.
The story has to be bloody funny to start with that.
You can start.
It's actually not even that funny.
Okay.
Well, have I got a story for you?
Wow.
It may be funny. Maybe interesting.
Does it pick up from here?
Maybe. Okay. I spoke to my girlfriend on the phone. I haven't seen her in ages. I've been doing beanie stuff. She's been parenting her. Hubby's away for 4 weeks, so she's been doing running.
Busy career mom.
Flying solo
busy.
4 weeks, right? Yes. I said, what have you been up to? Catching up. And then she said, oh, I'm so tired. And I said, oh, can you do something about that? Can you have a sleep? And she said, the last time I had a big sleep, it didn't end well. And I was like, what?
And
she said her hubby came back from 4 weeks away. And she was so knackered that he walked in the door and she went, I'm having a sleeping pill and going to sleep. You deal with everything else.
Heaven.
So she went to sleep.
Her first moment of respite.
And she's not someone that ever takes tablets much of anything, right?
Sure.
Even on a flight, she doesn't take it,
sure.
Right? So obviously her, you know, it was a new thing for her body to have sleeping pills. So she had a sleeping pill.
Yeah.
And boy, did she sleep. She slept and slept and slept and slept. So she slept from early in the evening all the way through the night, all the way through the next morning. And then mid-afternoon, her hubby woke her up and he was like, babe, you really need to get up. She was like, what? He's like, you've really got to wake up.
Oh, groggy.
Like, oh, what has happened? And he was like, I don't know, but this sleeping pills really knocked you up. You need to
What
wake
did she take?
Anyway, so she got up.
I want it.
And she was wandering around the house and she just said she was hopeless to anybody. And she said to him, I'm going to go get some fresh air.
You know that grogginess, right?
After it's a flight, gross. It's like jet lag.
When you had a sleeping tablet and you're like, eh. Ooh,
I've never had a sleeping tablet, so I only know the grogginess of not sleeping.
Oh, heaven.
Anyway, so she went outside for some fresh air.
We're not meant to encourage it.
No, you're not.
So I'm indifferent towards them.
Yes.
Whatever.
She went outside for some fresh air, right? And then found herself at a cafe, and she sat down at the cafe.
Oh, no.
And then all she remembers is feeling her phone vibrating, and she woke up and said, hello. And her hubby's like, where are you? You've been gone for an hour and a half. And she looked at all the dribble on the table in front of her. She'd fallen asleep at the breakfast bar at the cafe, literally with her head down on the table, like drunk.
What are the waitstaff doing?
No one woke her up. She'd been there for an hour asleep. Anyway, she's like, you have to come get me. She reckons it took 3 days to come good, to be alert again.
Oh, what a overly exhausted. That's not.
Not an enjoyable.
A little bit of
encounter.
That is sleeping tablet, but a lot of that is an overly cooked mum.
That's 4 weeks of catch up.
That's 4 weeks of catch up. What are we doing? What happened when you had a sleeping tablet?
Oh, yes. I want to know. I've never had one. I'm sure they react differently. I'm sure they leave you groggy. Have you ended up having to go to work and you've done something crazy because you've been half asleep?
I told you about when I flooded that villa in Sri Lanka, right?
What? A sleeping tablet?
Yeah, I knocked myself out and flooded a villa. Anyway.
Were you in the bath? You weren't in the bath. You didn't nearly drown or anything.
No.
You just left the bath on.
I just destroyed it. Anyway, another time.
No, that's exactly the story I need now. That is the topic.
Oh, yeah. So when have you destroyed a villa in Sri Lanka?
No. Well, okay. After this, I want to know more about the villa in Sri Lanka. But I also want to know about 131060.
What happened
when you took the sleeping tablet? Everybody else, not you.
Okay.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
But I'm a bit sus on sleeping tablets. Never had one. And I think a story about my girlfriend has put me off for life. She took one. 24 hours later, she woke up, went for a wander in a cafe, fell asleep again in a cafe, woke up and needed a hubby to come pick her up because she didn't know what the hell was happening.
In the interest of fairness, I will then play the part of being
No, you don't need to play
that
part.
Of
no, you sleeping. Don't.
Because I reckon if you're on a long-haul flight, oh.
Yeah, see, I've always thought about that.
Knock me out. Give me a whiskey and a sleeping tablet.
I feel a bit scared, although I have always thought if something was to happen on that flight, maybe you'd be better off if you were completely asleep.
You've taken this to a dark place.
Is that dark?
Real quick. After you mentioning to me, oh, maybe don't be so pro sleeping tablet, you've gone. But anyway, if something horrible was to happen on a flight.
Jade is with us now. Speaking of flights, Jade, what happened when you took a sleeping tablet?
So it wasn't me. It was actually my sister-in-law. We went over to Bali for her hens, and on the flight back, she took one, like, just before she flew out.
Yep.
And so we finally got, you know, to Melbourne, and I had to drag her through customs. She ended up drooling on the floor of V3.
Did they let her back in the country?
It took a lot of convincing.
To be fair, that's how a lot of people would arrive back from Bali.
Drooling.
Limp and drooling through customs.
That's how I arrive into Bali. I've started the party when I've got
on. On the way over.
Yeah, yeah.
We got Amanda on the line. Amanda, what happened when you took a sleeping tablet?
So it was me and my sister. We were flying back from India, which is quite a long flight. It's about 14 hours. So we took one when we first got on, and to be honest, I don't know what kind of happened. I woke up with one song. I remember my song was like four seats down or something. I remember waking up at one stage and saying to her, "What's going on?"
Amanda, did you
what do you think you did with the one thong? Do you think you wandered down the aisle?
I don't know. I don't know if I got up and went to the toilet and I just lost a thong on the way back. But when we finally got back to Australia, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm never taking a sleeping pill again.
Do you think maybe potentially a smart ass might have grabbed your thong and moved it about four seats?
Could have. Yeah.
Maybe you just went to the toilet four seats up.
Yes.
Maybe you never made it to the toilet.
Wouldn't have known.
Imagine. Now, Ingrid from Manly finished us off. Ingrid, what happened when you took a sleeping tablet?
Hi, it's actually on behalf of my friend, one of my girlfriends. She took a sleeping tablet after she'd been on a really long flight, and we had a sleepover, and she wet the bed.
Oh,
and she wet the bed?
She wet the bed.
Oh, that would happen often, I reckon, because you'd be so deep in sleep you wouldn't know. So it's the lesson you got to take, wear a nappy if you're going to take a sleep.
We woke up in the middle of the night and we're saturated.
And you sure this was your friend, yeah, Ingrid?
Yeah.
Is this like when Carrie says her friends are swingers and not her?
Yes, definitely my friend.
Okay.
Well, then, what do you think the moral of the story of all of those calls are then?
If you're going to ring in a radio station with a wedding yourself story, just say it was your friend.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, one of the most stupid things we could do on this show would be to interview someone that's like one of the most renowned interviewers in the world, right? Because that would just show how terrible we are at interviewing, right? But I'm not afraid of a challenge.
I am, but you insisted.
I've insisted. I love this man. Please welcome to the studio interviewer extraordinaire Andrew Denton.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello. The problem with your plan, do you know what it is?
What?
I'm a terrible interviewee.
This is not going to go
well. No, it's going to go very badly. So the first trick is to make sure the talent is any good, and that's where you've fallen over. Okay.
We need a better vetting process.
That's right. So if you ask me a question, I'm going to go, ooh, that's hard. Next.
Okay, this week coming up on your new program, Interview, you speak to Daniel John, someone I've admired and loved for a very long time. Yeah. Now, you first interviewed him, or you interviewed him like 10 years ago, or 2004 or something, I think.
Yeah, a long time back.
You've probably already done it in the cam, but I was going to say, how do you think you'll find him all these years later?
Having interviewed Daniel 12 years ago, and I remember it because he was so anxious, and he actually, during the interview, he literally started hyperventilating and fanning himself with his hat, and he lost his place. And I remember leaning over and putting my hand on his knee and just saying, Daniel, stay with me, it's okay. So going into this interview, which I recorded the other night, I was anxious for his anxiety. So I spent a fair bit of time with him before the interview. Anyway, I know this sounds like I'm just promoting next week's interview, but in my career, it will be in the top two dozen conversations I've had where what I planned to talk about mostly went out the window because he's such a brilliant man, and he was able to take us inside his brain and how the world looks to him in a way I hadn't even imagined. And I've never actually heard anyone describe the creative process in the way he did.
To make your list, that top list of yours is an achievement when you think about the great names that you have interviewed. People say, be wary of meeting your idols.
Yes.
Now, out of all the people that you've chatted to, some I'm sure you've idolised.
Yes.
Does that ring true?
Yeah, that's a good question. Here I'll go into bad interviewing mode.
I mean, how are you feeling now that you're with me?
I'm feeling idle. Interestingly.
Well, I can be really specific if you'd like.
Yeah, sure.
David Attenborough, I've heard notoriously is not a nice man.
No.
And I'm a huge fan of his work.
Is that right? Well, in fact, David Attenborough for me is the broadcaster's broadcaster.
Right.
No, he was absolutely fabulous. In fact, the very first time I met David Attenborough was years ago when I worked at Channel 7. It was a live Tonight Show, but I'd sometimes go off and record interviews. And it was at the Botanic Gardens in Sydney. And he had done an interview with the late, great Don Burke on the other side of the Botanic Gardens. And he came over and I introduced myself and I said, "So David, nice to meet you. I know you've just done another interview. Would you like to rest before we start?" He said, "No, that's quite all right. The other chap did all the talking." And anyway, he was fantastic.
So did you, after that, shut up for the rest of the interview?
No, he was great. And I've met him several times since. I remember asking him off camera once. We were just talking. I said, "Just out of curiosity, what do you think of Steve Irwin?" This was before Steve died. And he gave a beautiful response, which is both a critique but not being nasty. He said, "He doesn't seem to like animals very much." And I thought, when you think about it, anyone that leaps on the back of crocodiles, probably that's a fair appraisal.
Right.
And chucks them in bags.
Yeah, I don't think that's what crocodiles are actually hoping to happen. Yeah.
Do you have a technique, like a single technique or lots of techniques you use when you know you need to get to the point of the interview, the thing that the person you're interviewing doesn't want to talk about?
Well, look, I have a huge advantage. It's actually my secret weapon. It makes me look a lot better at the job than I am. And I mean that in all seriousness. I have time to talk to people.
Right.
So I can wait. So, for example, with Daniel, I did want to talk to him about the problems that he's faced, what appear to be substance abuse problems, but I didn't want to race to that question. Mm. And I took a very long time to get to those questions. They weren't the point of the interview, and I'm glad I took that time, because by the time I got there and you got a sense of what this man's brain is like, it all made a lot more sense. So time is actually the main technique.
Andrew, I need to ask something, and I'm nervous about asking it, but you just said it before. Did you describe Don Burke as the late, great Don Burke?
I was just being facetious.
Yes, okay. Yes.
What I meant is that...
Effectively, he's dead.
Well, he's dead to us. In the same way, Cosby is dead to us, in the same way, so many people... I wanted to ask you this. This is obviously a pre-recorded interview, and if you don't like this question,
sure,
just don't answer it.
Yeah.
Yes, as you've just heard, this interview is pre-recorded. Mm-hmm. We caught up with Andrew earlier today. I was hesitant about asking him the question, which you're going to hear on the other side of this. He answered it, and it's fascinating, so stay tuned for the rest of the chat.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, if you have just joined us, we caught up with Andrew Denton earlier today, and there was a question I was nervous about asking.
I'm so glad you did, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, here it is. You've been in showbiz for such a long time. You've seen so many people and so many people come and go, and people die literally and in that sense. Rolf Harris was obviously a big part of one of your shows, and then you've interviewed Don Burke. Is there moments where you look back and you thought, like, there was something with these people?
Well, Rolf Harris, no. That was such a weird interview, because I knew Rolf, as most people did, as this bizarre icon.
Yeah.
And in the interview I did with him, just this darkness came out, which we now have a sense of what it was. Mm. But at the time it was unfathomable. And I remember driving away and saying to my producer exactly these words: "I'm paid to do this for a living. I have no idea what just happened there."
Right. So,
but with Don Burke, as you would have seen around the story, my co-executive producer had worked at Channel 9 for many years. And we talked a lot about, there were all these rumours about Don and how difficult he was and how dark he was. But they were rumours. And it's very difficult to do an interview with somebody if you don't actually have some facts to confront them with. I did ask him about the rumours that he was very difficult to work with. Mm. But there was none of the substance that's since come out because we didn't know any of that stuff.
Yeah. Mm. I was going to say,
we're going to have to wrap up soon. We want to speak to this man for the entire hour.
I've got so
hour.
Many questions.
I know.
Who's the one you haven't got that you'd love to get?
Oh, there's many, but probably the top of that list is Rupert Murdoch.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Or Rupert Murdoch next to Montgomery Burns, and we could.
Yeah.
I remember being at a party on a boat once, and I went to go to the toilet underneath, and there was a man sitting by the toilet, and I was like, "Who's that man?" And then I went, "Oh my God, it's Rupert Murdoch." And I remember I sat in the toilet, and I had so many questions I wanted to ask him, and I was like, "I'm going to come out of this toilet. I'm going to ask him all these things." And I came out of the toilet and I walked straight back upstairs and we got another champagne and I never spoke to him because, like you, I had so many things I wanted to say and I was like, nope, I don't have the guts to talk to him about them.
I can't think of a more interesting Australian in the last century than Rupert. But I don't think he's ever going to come on the show somehow.
No, well, we can try. Yeah. Just before we let you go, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, you've come on the project many times. You're an advocate for voluntary euthanasia after watching your father pass away through a horrible death. death. How does today's story about the 102 or 4-year-old man, I think he was, that's gone to Switzerland to end his life after he's had enough, he's feeling his body deteriorate and he doesn't want to live anymore. Does that kind of case complicate the conversation we're currently having in Australia about voluntary euthanasia for those who are terminally ill?
I think it amplifies the conversation in that there are a few countries in the world, and he's gone to one of them, Switzerland, which will help someone like him who doesn't have a terminal illness,
no.
but who, like, he's not the only old person in this position, has many things which collectively have made his life unbearable. And so there are very few laws in the world that will help someone in that situation. In Australia, though, Victoria passed a law last year, and that is specifically for people who are terminally ill. I don't see us doing what the Europeans have done and passing a law to help people like David Goodall, but I have great empathy for him, and I think it's a great sadness that a man who's contributed up to the age of 102 to this society has to travel over to the other side of the world to be treated compassionately at the end of his life.
In a broader sense, there should just be a rule that once you hit 100, you can do actually whatever you want.
Totally, yeah.
Keep the letter.
The Queen's permission.
She can keep her letter.
Absolutely. No, I think you can murder people. I think, yeah. It's like,
because if
them.
You can't get out of the way of a 100-year-old with
then
a knife,
you deserve to go.
Deserve to
well, did you hear him when he was over there, when they just wanted to triple check that he wanted to do it? I think we've got a piece of this. This is what he said.
You're sure you want to go through with it?
Oh, yes. That's what I'm here for.
Why the hell have I travelled all the way to Switzerland if I didn't want to go through it?
Exactly. I didn't come for the scenery.
Andrew, I've been a big fan for a long time and I'd love to keep chatting to you. That is all, unfortunately, the nature of commercial radio only allows us.
Is that how
you're
going to end? That is all.
But that's all it allows us.
Wow, what an anticlimax. Thank you.
We have the opposite of what you have with your guests, time. We don't have that.
Okay, fair enough. In that case, I'll say goodbye.
Yes.
Interview airs Tuesdays, 9 p.m. on Channel 7. Make sure you check it out. Andrew Denton, thank you, mate.
Thank you.
How amazing was that? That was Andrew Denton. Hey, guys, we're back tomorrow. Have a great afternoon. We'll catch you for Friday.
Versatile, intelligent. Yeah, we could be talking about Carrie and Tommy, but we're not. We're talking the Nissan X-Trail, the world's best-selling SUV. Ba-dum, ba-dum, boom, 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 boom.